Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
Hello everyone to the first edition of What's the Fact, the new English program of Radio Color. Our intention is to demonstrate you that English is not an impossible matter. We would like to tell you the different possibilities you can use to follow us. Thus, you can listen to our program, Get a Pen, remember to get a pen, on the 106.2 FM, as well as on streaming on radiocolor.es. In addition, you can listen to the podcast on our Facebook webpage or on radiocolor.es. Okay, from now to the end of the program, we will focus on how to improve the different English skills, as well as to give you several tips on correct mistakes. Now, it's a pleasure for me, to introduce you the rest of the crew. So here we have on microphone number one, Cristina Vindel-White.
So good morning, everyone.
Okay, on microphone number two, we have with us Manu García López.
Hi there. Hi, everyone.
And on microphone number three is Anna Burgess. Anna, there is a problem there. Okay, try it again, please.
Hello.
Yes, now it's okay. Thank you very much, Anna. Okay, please, can you introduce yourselves?
Okay, I'm Cristina, and I am half Spanish, half English. I was born in London, and I am, a girl, more or less a woman of the world, because I have lived in many languages, in many countries, and English has been very important in my life. I studied business administration and marketing, and I've been working in the advertising business for a long time. But now, for the last 5-6 years, I had the opportunity to come to Cuenca to relax a little bit, and now I'm an English teacher, and I just love it. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, thank you very much, Cristina. And Manu, what about you?
All right. Well, I'm 100% Spanish. You could probably guess it from my surnames. English is also very, very important in my life. I studied English at university, and I've always worked as an English teacher. It's the only thing I've done. And apart from that, I also studied in England for two years, actually. And I love English and languages in general. And at the moment, I'm an English teacher here in Cuenca.
Okay, thank you very much, Manuel. Sounds very good. Okay, Anna, it's your turn. Cool. What about you?
My name's Anna, and I am English, born and bred. Mm-hmm. I've been in Spain for several months now. And before that, I studied English at university. And afterwards, I wanted to travel. So that's why I'm in Spain, and I'm now teaching English.
Very good. I love everything you have said, okay? So, okay, let's going to introduce what is going to be our program about, okay? And one of the points we are going to touch every program is going to be tips and common mistakes, okay? Our idea is to help you in order to improve your English level. So here is Manu. He has a piece of information that is going to be so interesting for you, I'm sure. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Agus. Right. So as a grammar teacher, I teach grammar on a regular basis. Let me tell you some typical mistakes, okay, that lots of people make, okay? they're quite common mistakes, but that doesn't mean that they are okay. So let's begin with a very, very typical one. When you say she likes read books, she likes ride horses. No, that's not right. What she would say? She likes reading books, or she likes riding horses. She likes, I don't know, playing
tennis.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, why is this a mistake? Because with verbs like, dislike, hate,
love,
prefer, mm-hmm. love, thank you very much. If you have another verb right after that, the other verb must go in ing, okay? So she likes reading, but also she loves reading, or she hates reading, she dislikes playing football. Okay?
Okay.
I think that's clear now. Right. Another one. This mistake is not so much about the grammar itself, it's about the word order, okay? It's the order of the words in the sentence.
I'm going to take my pen because I make a lot of mistakes about
okay,
it.
Okay, so yeah, of course, take note if you need it. I hope this is helpful to everyone. So, when we say, I like very much English, well, it sounds okay, because in Spanish we say something similar. We use this word order quite often. But it's not okay in English to say that. Okay, so we say, I like English very much. In other words, very much goes right at the end. You cannot put it between the verb and the object. Okay, so it's the following structure is very fixed in English. It's very, it has to be like this. It's subject, and then the verb, and then the object, and then whatever else we have. Right? So, I, subject, like, verb, English, object, very much. That is the rest of the sentence. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right. The same goes for sentences like, I love cakes a lot. Okay? I love cakes a lot. Right? Mm-hmm. You have to keep the same word order. Okay? Let me tell you about another classic, okay?
Classic.
Yes.
I like.
I mean it. It's
I
a
like
classic.
It. Yeah.
People is, right? People is. In Spanish, it also sounds okay because we say la gente es, la gente está. But it's not okay to say that in English, okay? It's people are. Do you know why?
Yes, because people is equal to persons,
uh-huh.
yeah. I guess, and persons is plural.
Exactly.
But when we say people, for Spanish people, it sounds to gente,
uh-huh.
and it sounds gente es.
Uh-huh.
So that's why people say people is.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good, Christina. That was actually, you know, that was actually very good.
Well, we repeat this quite a lot.
yeah. I've got a feeling about all those problems, and I'm sure you're going to agree, okay? Because I think that sometimes Spanish is our worst friend. It's the worst friend we can use in order to speak in English because we try to translate sometimes and it doesn't help.
Yeah, especially in grammar. In other aspects, Spanish can actually help us a little bit, but not here, definitely not here.
It can help us many times with very complicated words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, for example, very complicated words, when I say long words, like, for example, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent is the same in Spanish.
Yeah.
And it's become because they come from the Latin, and
exactly.
correct me. And those are words that when we use them in English, they show that we have a good level of English. So if we can use those words, they're great.
Yep.
Especially the ones that come from Latin.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. That's absolutely right.
Remember, Manu, what word formation? That lovely exercise.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
And I have a question.
Yes,
sorry. For Anna. Because we are talking about the typical mistakes that Spaniards make, and what do you think about it when you correct your students? Mm-hmm. Because for Manu and Cristina it's easier, okay, because they know Spanish, but you don't know. What do you think about it? It sounds so strange for you, or it shocks you?
No, because sometimes I can see the logic behind the mistake.
Okay.
So I can understand why it's happened. But I guess to me, it's when I see the mistake, it's immediate. Like I can tell exactly what is wrong.
Okay.
With the mistake.
Thank you very much. Manu, so sorry.
Shall I continue? No, it's okay. It's fine. Okay? So don't say people is, say people are. It's always plural.
Remember your pen and your notebook. Noted.
Okay? Good. And another one, another mistake that I would like to talk about is we usually say in internet. Okay? In internet. Well, that's not quite right because we might say on the internet. Okay? The word internet is always preceded by the article the. Okay? So we always say the internet. Okay? Unless we say something like I have no internet connection, but that's a different concept, okay? But it's always the internet. Okay? And in this case we say on the internet. And actually we say on, we use the preposition on with anything that has to do with
technology.
Okay? For example, we say on the TV, or precisely on the radio. Can you think of any more, girls?
On the phone.
Mm-hmm. Anna, do you? Also with when we talk about some websites, we say on Google,
yes,
don't we?
Yeah.
Or on Facebook, on Twitter. Okay.
So basically, anything related to technology.
Exactly.
I always tell my students, technology on.
On, exactly. And in this case, in particular, we say on the internet. Okay. Very good. And finally, I will comment on another one, another classic, I would say. It's listen music, or listen me, listen this, right? That is not correct, because in English we must always say listen to music, listen to me, listen to the radio, okay? So we need to use the preposition to. It's compulsory in English. Okay, and actually, speaking of this, okay, I think it's about time for us to listen to some nice song, isn't it, Agustin?
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Our next point is going to be a break, okay, we are going to use it every day, and we are going to try to listen to some song. Mm-hmm. And today we have a very nice one. And it is related with something that we want to explain too, in order to improve your English. Remember, that's mm-hmm. our goal, our final goal, okay? And what are we going to listen to?
Okay, well, today we are going to use a song which uses an idiom, which is stiff upper lip. And we will explain later to you what this means and a little bit of the origins of this idiom. And we will have idioms in all our programs because it's one of the best ways to learn English.
I agree.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
And it shows that you're quite skilled if you used idioms when mm-hmm. you're speaking, okay? But as you are the expert, because I think it's an AC/DC
yes,
song,
it is.
Yes? Okay,
it is.
So.
It is.
Shall yes. we go?
Yeah. Do you want to add something else?
No.
So let's go with the stiff upper lip by AC/DC.
Well, I was out on a drive on a bit of a trip, looking for thrills to get me some kicks. Now I want you, ladies. I shoot from the hip. I was born with a stiff upper lip. Lock it down! We'll be right back.
Okay, that was no doubt an interesting song, okay, by AC/DC. Okay, the song's title was, by the way, Stiff Upper Lip, as Christina said. Right, but what is that? That is an English idiom, okay? An idiom is an expression that is typical in the language, okay? That doesn't have to mean what it means literally, okay? Stiff upper lip, okay? Right, that's an interesting idiom that we use when some problems come up or a difficult situation is facing us, okay? And we say, but I was okay, I kept a stiff upper lip, okay, in that situation. That means I didn't move, I didn't react, you know, violently. I reacted okay, like seriously, you know, plain face, okay? Stiff upper lip. But where does this idiom, where does this expression come from? Well, apparently it comes from the British Empire, the times of the British Empire, okay? But it actually originated in American English first, okay? Well, in times of war, okay, it was said that you had to keep a stiff upper lip, okay, when your enemies came to attack you, right? Why? To give them an impression that you are not affected by it, okay? And actually, to have a stiff upper lip, that means that your upper lip, okay, doesn't move, okay? Why? Because if you're very scared, okay, it tends to move. But if you keep it stiff, it won't move, and you will give an impression that, you know, you're not worried, you're not afraid. Okay, that is actually the origin. The first time that this expression was documented was in an American classic called Uncle Tom's Cabin. Okay, the year was 1852 in the United States. Okay, that's about the meaning and the origin of this idiom. Now let's see how we can use it in real life, okay? Because it's used, you know, on a regular basis. For example, Christina, how did you react the other day when that person shouted at you?
Well, I was so shocked that I had to keep a stiff upper lip.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to demonstrate my feelings.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. Very good. And Anna, just imagine that you are in the middle of a fight, okay? And you but your enemies outnumber you, right? There are many more than in your group. What would you tell your colleagues, your partners? What would you tell?
So I would not want them to think that we were intimidated or scared. So I would say to them, we need to keep a stiff upper lip.
Very well. Okay. And now, Christina, could you tell us, how can we translate this expression into Spanish?
I haven't got my glasses on. That's my problem. So... okay, yes. No, but I know it anyway. Okay. So, mantener el tipo. Mm-hmm. Tienes que mantener el tipo. Mm-hmm. Aguantar el chaparrón.
Que no se
y
vea.
Y que no se te note.
Que estás acongojado.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, that's
And you know who are famous?
For having an upper, stiff upper lip?
Yes.
Who?
The English English royals. Because, you know, the English are famous for their English phlegm. La flema inglesa.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that for as history has come, especially with current royals, well, they're famous for these situations mm-hmm. because they confront many difficult situations.
Uh-huh.
So that's how, though the royal family obviously is opening very, very much in England, and I personally like them a lot.
All right, so you know, so when we talk about the royalty in the UK, we can probably use this expression also with them.
I think so.
Do you agree, Anna?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, very well. Okay, let's continue our program, and now we are going to present the topic. Okay, And what's the fact today? What's the fact? What are we going to talk about? Do you know it?
Yes, we are going to talk about two things. Yes, Anna?
Yes, that's right.
I think we're going to start with a little bit of the history of English.
Mm-hmm.
And I then think we'll go on to see how is English today and maybe what will English be in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Do you mean like the number of speakers of English?
Yes, things like that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting to me.
And how many people study it.
Okay.
You will be quite surprised about this information.
I can't wait.
Okay, so Anna, if you are ready, please.
Cool, yes. So I think everyone is aware of how important English is today, but maybe we don't know too much about the origins of English and where it comes from. So English is actually a branch of the Indo-European family of languages, and Spanish too, but of a different branch. So English is a West German language, and it actually arrived in England in the 5th century when tribes of Germanic tribes invaded. So do you guys know anything about them?
Yes,
I
think I remember a couple of these tribes. Uh-huh. One of them were the Jutes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The Saxons.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the Angles.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We know many things.
Yeah.
I'm quite impressed, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Cool. So these tribes invaded England in the 5th century. And then following this, prior to this, in England, most of the people spoke Celtic languages.
Mm-hmm.
So like languages which are now, were spoken in Scotland and in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So when they invaded, the mixture of their languages became what was known as Old English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the time, it was very difficult for the English people to understand the languages, but as time passed, it became the spoken language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are other languages as well, which are from the same origin. Do you know? Any?
Yes, I think German
comes
from the same branch.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And Dutch as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then there's other Germanic languages as well from different branches. For example, Danish and Swedish. And that's why they have some similarities as well. Yeah. And also East Germanic, another branch, but now that's extinct. So, yeah. So a lot of the words that are now in modern English have roots from Old English.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. It is very interesting how a language is a part of a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so it is so related with history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am not surprised that you say that English is similar to Swedish or Danish. Because of the Vikings, and there were some raids in the UK.
Yeah.
So, what today is UK, okay?
Uh-huh.
But yes, that's very interesting, because in the information I'm going to give you later, the highest proficiency in English, that means the highest level of English in people, which is not the first language, are in these countries, the Northern European countries.
Mm-hmm.
Today, have the highest proficiency levels. We're talking about Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, all these countries that Anna has
really
just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to add something quick about what Anna said, or August said as well. You know, the Vikings did actually invade the British Isles, around the 9th century. And actually, many of the words in the English language today actually come from Old Norse, that is to say, Scandinavian languages. Words as common as dog, for example, or give, these words have a Scandinavian origin nowadays, and they're so common in the English language at present. So it's really impressive, and actually, the English lexicon, the English vocabulary, has been impregnated with so many loan words from other languages. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised, but perhaps we can talk about the lexicon another day.
Yes, we should. It's very useful for our program and also for our audience. Audience, sorry. I have to correct myself because, you know.
We will.
Yeah. You are here. So, okay, what do you think about if we continue and talk about the different points that makes English global language, or how could we say it?
Well, yeah. We could call it. Yes, some people now calling it global English. Some people call it globish, but it's. It's certainly becoming true that it is becoming a universal language, and I think let's see some facts, because what is the fact? Okay, and there are many discussions and many statistics about this. Is it English? Is it other languages? And obviously, we have to take into account different things. First of all, we have to take into account that people which the language is their native language. Mm-hmm. That's one number. Obviously, English is spoken. There are 375 million native speakers.
That's really impressive.
It is very impressive. But if we translate it into speakers, that can come up to 1,500 million. Wow. That is a lot.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Figures can vary between statistics. I've got statistics from the UN and from different statistics. What about Spanish? Yeah. Where do you think Spanish is?
I heard, I'm not sure, I have not any statistics with me, but I heard that Spanish is, nowadays, it has more speakers than English. Is it true?
It's so and so. It depends which statistics you get. Mm-hmm. Because you have some that say it's 330, 400. So I think they're more or less in the same place. Okay? It depends where you look at it, but they're quite close. But when it comes to speaking, there the Spaniards lose. Okay?
Okay.
Though the Spanish government is making a lot of effort with the Instituto Cervantes to push the English with the new Spanish exams and all this. But regarding speaking, English is by far the largest.
Okay.
So that means, sorry to interrupt, but that means that there are many, many more people that actually study and speak English, okay, than native speakers.
If I give you the figures for the people who are learning, you would be surprised, because then we do not speak in millions. We speak in billions.
Billions, wow.
Nowadays, there are 1.5 billion wow. people around the world studying English.
Wow.
Okay? And there's a lot of debate about, because I'm wondering, why hasn't anybody asked me about China?
I was expecting, but Manu interrupted me, so I couldn't.
Okay, because I'm sure the audience is thinking, yes, but there's so many Chinese. Yes. I mean, this is the most populated country in the world.
Yes.
So there should be a lot of Chinese. Yes, and there are a lot of Chinese. And actually, it is the first spoken language in the world, okay? But you do have to take into account that Chinese is formed by many languages, okay? And the main one is Mandarin.
Mandarin.
Okay? If we take Mandarin as this whole language, there's almost a million people speaking, and also depends on the statistics.
Yeah.
But there are so many other languages in China, and some of them I can't even pronounce, because we've got... Everybody knows Mandarin, but what about Wuyu and Yuhi? And I'm really not an expert in Chinese.
I think Manu studied them, but probably...
Who, me? No way. No way, Jose.
And I think that there is a debate around the world if English will be
a real global
the language of the future, or if it really will become a lingua franca. Mm-hmm. Because there are people who say there will be French. There are other people who think which will be Mandarin. Mm-hmm. But I think as a global, as a universal language, it will be English. Mm-hmm. Because English is a language which is mostly used, for example, on the internet. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah.
And also, I would like to add another piece of information. And the point is that there was another attempt to create a lingua franca, okay, like Esperanto. Do you know what Esperanto is?
Yes, I think I do.
It's a mixture of different languages in order to create a global one, okay? Mm-hmm. But Esperanto is very difficult to learn because it has not a cultural background, mm-hmm. okay? And English, on the other hand, it's so easy and so useful because we have a lot of cultural
Influence,
yes. Remember, also the radio too, here in Cuenca, a radio program about English, okay? But also the films, the movies, remember Hollywood, all the actors, the sports, mm-hmm. songs, music. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Just to give you an idea, 55% of the contents of webs worldwide are in English.
Wow.
And it also has the highest number of users, which is almost 1,000 million.
Wow.
So we have to take into account that there are many countries where the penetration of internet is still not very big. Mm-hmm. But those are very, very, I would say there are huge figures.
Yeah, I think it's really impressive that one language alone, takes more than half of the users. You know, like that's really, really impressive.
Yeah,
and there are many languages in the world.
And it's also because we're talking about the internet, but if you think of real situations, if you're really in your daily life, you will see that many things that you use are in English. Okay, if you study medicine, for example, most of the reports, mm-hmm. science reports, mm-hmm. are in English. The publishing business, the highest percentage of books published is in English. It's more than, I think it's 23% or 28%, mm-hmm. and the next one is Chinese with something like 13% or something like that. So I mean, it's really huge, mm-hmm. what we're talking about.
Okay, can I ask Anna a question? Mm-hmm. Being a speaker of the probably the most important language in the world, mm-hmm. How does it feel, or has it ever been of help to speak English when you travel or when you meet somebody? You know, how do you feel about speaking English?
Yeah, I think maybe English people have a bit of an unfair advantage. It's obviously good for me and for English speakers because it's easier to mm-hmm. have that language that a lot of people speak to. Mm-hmm. But then I think there's also the negative side. So maybe we're more reluctant to try and learn other languages because
perhaps
we have that advantage.
It makes you sort of lazy,
yeah,
about
perhaps.
It, about learning languages.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Anna, you are going to learn Spanish. Trust me. Okay, so I think this is a very interesting point. Also, we can also add more information about the cultural effects of English.
I would say, in this, we're in a global world now, okay? And, we've all been suffering or enjoying, I don't know, which is the best word, globalization, okay? And that's one of the key facts that has made that English has grown so much. Mm-hmm. And also the developments, which have been absolutely huge on communication technology. And so that has made us have a common language.
Yeah. For example, today everyone knows that a mobile phone is a device, even in Cuenca. Or think about casual style when you wear clothes. Uh-huh. Casual. nowadays, some friends of mine, they use it. And it is not a Spanish word. It is English.
Oh, yeah, you mean like we took the word casual, like ropa casual.
Yeah. As a lot of other examples.
Think
about, for example, technologies as computers, software, hardware. That's all.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's a moment in our daily life when we don't see something that affects us daily, which is in English.
And another point, think about bilingual studies in primary school in Spain. Mm-hmm. We can also use that topic as a fact for another program.
I think that would be a very good topic because, you know, I think it's quite difficult nowadays, you know, and I think everybody in Spain is really making an effort from the early start.
Yeah. One of the most important points in the curriculum in education in Spain is to make the student a properly person in order to introduce him in the society. But now the global society is included in the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that makes English important, and some schools are creating a bilingual curriculum for them. Mm-hmm. But we will speak about it further, I think, because...
Okay.
This is a very, very, very difficult...
It deserves further discussion,
Well, I think if you like traveling, English is the most useful. Not only because it's the most used language in everywhere, but also it's spoken in 83 countries.
83, you said?
Yes. Oh. And I read somewhere the other day that some countries in Africa have requested that English becomes the official language.
Wow.
And I thought that was really surprising.
Wow. Because they also have this feeling of globalization. They want to stay ahead, and they want to use English, because English means communication, and it means being modern, being, you know, on top.
I think that's the fact.
I understand.
Yeah, and in many languages, in many countries, like Singapore, okay, this is co-official language. There are five official languages, but the first is English, and another one that I don't remember, sorry, but I have a friend that lives there and told me.
Yes, well, those 83 countries that I just mentioned goes up to 105 if you have co-official languages.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
Of course, it is. Okay, do you want to add something about it, or...
I don't know. Are we going to give? We're going to give homework to our students.
Yes.
So to our, it's not actually they're not our students, but our audience. But I hope sometime, you know, I would like them to interact. How can we do this?
Yes, we have some exercises. We can say exercises because that's where it's going to be at the end. But today we have thought that probably the best one is to introduce Steve Aberlip in a proper sentence, okay?
Our weekly idiom, yeah.
Yes, but we have thought many, many, many different exercises, so when you are going to listen to us, it is important to have a pen next to you, because probably you are going to need it, okay? So there will be many surprises for you, not just... do exercises, different exercises, or just grammar exercises. We'll like to do some listening exercises, and we will see.
And Agus, where can our listeners get to those exercises? Where can they find them?
Okay, at first, they can follow us in our Facebook webpage, and we will add it, so they will notice.
Okay.
It's going to be in that... source.
Sounds very good.
Okay, so if I want to do the homework from today, what do I do?
You have to go directly to our Facebook webpage, is Foro Cuenca, okay? And go there, and you will see the exercise. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay, do you have any questions for us?
Not me.
No, think it's fine.
Okay, so if you want, I think this is a good time to end our program, our first program, okay? Mm-hmm. And we have chosen a very British song that you will recognize immediately. And it is a James Bond theme. Okay, do you know it?
Yes, I just love them.
Okay, so but first I would like you to say goodbye to the audience, okay? So you have your time and do it, please. Okay. Christina, if you want.
Okay, well,
ladies first.
I just say that this has been my first experience on the radio and I have really enjoyed it. I hope it has been interesting for the audience and we do hope to bring you some more interesting tips, advices, so you can improve your English. And we're here to help, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would say pretty much the same. Okay, it was my first experience too, and I couldn't love it anymore. And you know, and I will be here next week probably. Okay, so it was a pleasure, and I hope that we can be of any help to our listeners. Okay. And they can learn a little bit of English every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my first experience too, and I've enjoyed it, and I hope that the audience will enjoy it too.
Okay, so it has been a pleasure for us to be on What's the Fact first program, and see you next week at the same time. Remember, Saturday, 12 o'clock, and you can use also the podcast to follow us. So see you next week. And enjoy English.